Thank you, Jim. It does get a little warm up here. We'll try to warm it up out there. But anyway, you couldn't get that fan on, could you? Couldn't get it on. Yeah. I was just going to tell Jim, if he thinks it's hot up here, he ought to try sitting in a dentist chair sometime. I know I get hot because I break out and sweat all over. But anyway, I remember one time we had just put that fan in up here, and I didn't realize it, and I was preaching on the Holy Spirit one Sunday morning, right after we'd put that thing in. And Henry, I noticed him getting a little edgy back there one time and during the sermon, and you know, and I asked him what it was about after it was over, and he said, well, the whole time you were preaching, he said, I guess it was that fan, but I got to thinking maybe it was the Spirit. He said, my tie was standing up just like this. But anyway, funny things happen sometimes when you're in church and when you're trying to reflect on things that are spiritual. Are y'all warm in here tonight, really? Anybody hot in here tonight? Henry, can you turn those that auxiliary air on just a little bit? I want to keep you awake because I know that it is true, honestly, that when you get hot, you get sleepy. And you have a tendency to go to sleep. I don't want you to do that tonight. I want you to turn, however, to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. You know, as I mentioned this morning, there was a song a number of years ago that hit the charts entitled Looking for Love in All the Wrong Places. And that particular song actually addressed the issue that people were looking, you know, for one-night stands, and they were just looking for love and maybe in bars and all kind of places, you know. And instead of looking for love in the right place, and maybe they were looking for love on the internet, you know, and a lot of times people find one another that way, and sometimes those relationships don't last. But at any rate, I want to speak to you tonight on the subject, looking for hope in all the wrong places. And as a text tonight, I want to read the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 and following. Well, Paul says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them that are asleep, that is, those that have already died. Now, he said that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus, or those that are dead in Christ, God will bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them, one translation says, which are asleep or have died. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. You know, sometimes it's hard for us to really grasp hope because hope is something that is based upon things that we cannot see. The Bible says that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. It's hard for people sometimes to believe that there is an eternal abode called heaven and that there is a place for the wicked called hell. And a lot of people do not believe that God is, in all of his goodness, would ever allow anyone to die and go to hell. But he will. I heard a story about a man one time who had died, and he went up to the pearly gates, and the Lord said, who goes there? And the man identified himself. And he asked him, he says, well, he says, what bad things did you do on earth? And he said, well, I drank a little bit every now and then, but I didn't really get drunk. And he said, I hope you don't hold it against me. He said, I lied, but I didn't commit perjury. And after several moments of deliberation, the Lord said, okay, here's the deal. We're going to send you to a place where it is very, very hot, but we are not going to call it hell. You'll be there for an indefinite period of time, but we won't call it eternity. And don't abandon all hope upon entering. Just don't hold your breath waiting for it to freeze over. Well, you know, there are a lot of people that don't believe in hell. A lot of people don't believe in heaven, but that certainly does not nullify the fact that it exists. You know, the word hope is a very interesting word, and I went through the concordance the other day and looked at how often that word is used in the Bible. Let me just share some verses with you as a prelude to getting into the lesson tonight, what we're really going to talk about. In Romans, the 5th chapter and verse 2, the Bible says, "To whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God." Romans 12:12, "Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. For in everything that was written in times past was written to teach us so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures we might have hope." 1 Corinthians 13 says, "Now abideth faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love." Not to circumvent the importance of hope as well. Galatians 5:5 says, "But by faith we eagerly await through the Spirit the righteousness of God, which is by hope." And Paul says, "I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints." And in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4, the Bible says, "There is one body and one spirit, just as you are called, and one hope of your calling." So hope is real. I'm glad tonight that we can have hope. What a tragedy when people offer those words, "There is no hope." No hope at all. But for the Christian people tonight, there is hope. And when you die, you just move out of one state into another state. You move into a position to be with God, in that place of paradise. Well, let's look tonight at what the Bible says about hope. Many people look for hope in all the wrong places. In the book of 1 Corinthians 15:19, Paul says, "If in this life only we have hope, we are of all men most miserable." Consider that, what he has to say. If we only had hope here and suddenly your hope died once you died, then wouldn't that be a real tragedy indeed? For Paul says that we are saved in hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Well, we ought to be looking for hope, but let's talk about where people search for it. Sometimes people look for hope within themselves because they believe in the doctrine of humanism. Now, the doctrine of humanism means that people just kind of become what they are by themselves. You look out in the world today and you see people that are highly successful, and sometimes people get the feeling, or they begin to imagine, that they are what they are because of what they've done. They have accomplished it all. God didn't have anything to do with it at all, but that's not true. God is behind everything that we do. He is behind every success that we have in life. Now, whether you believe that or not, it's true. If you are successful in business, or you are successful in your job, if you are successful in your marriage, if you are successful in your life in any dimension, it is because God is working behind the scenes to produce that success. And that is the hope that we have in Christ our Lord. Our hope should be based upon him, not ourselves. But a lot of people look within. In the book of Proverbs 20 and verse 24, the word says that a man's steps, a good man's steps, are ordered of the Lord. Or how could he understand his own way? In Jeremiah 10 and verse 23, "O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself." And even though people search for hope within, he said, "I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps." You know what? Every day when I get out of bed, I always ask God to direct me that day. I never chart my own course without asking God to help me. But let me tell you why I do that. It's because I know that I would be destined to fail, or I might make a wrong turn, or I might, you know, get out of step some way. And so I ask God to order my steps that day. Lead me where I need to be. Proverbs 26 and 12 says, "Do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for this man." Self-esteem cannot give you hope. Can't. I know a lot of people say, "Well, you know, we just need more self-esteem." You know what we need more of? Is God-esteem. We need to start esteeming God instead of self sometimes. Money cannot give you hope. A lot of people believe that. a lot of people believe there again that they're self-sufficient. And humanism is a doctrine that says, hey, you know, you have mastered it all. If you have money, it is because you have earned it. God didn't have anything to do with it. But God blesses us with what we have. Matthew 6:19 says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures upon this earth where moth and rust destroys and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That's what he said. Sometimes people not only look within, but sometimes people look outside themselves. Now you may say, well, my goodness, what are you talking about? You're telling us not to look within, and now you're telling us that it's wrong to look outside of self. It's not if we do it in the right way. 2 Corinthians 4:17 says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. He says, for while we do not look at the things that are seen, he said, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now, we look sometimes within ourselves and we pat ourselves on the back and talk about how successful we are and where we've come from and what we've accomplished and what we've done. But then on the other hand, a lot of people look outside themselves and they look at the world around them and they do not realize how temporary this really is. As I said this morning, in a matter of 30 seconds, it is amazing what can happen in 30 seconds. You can get a phone call from someone that can change your life. I've had phone calls in the middle of the night from people telling me that their mate had died. Or that their child had been killed in an automobile accident. That's happened several times. 30 seconds. Proverbs 11:7 says, when a wicked man dies, his expectation will also perish, and the hope of the unjust perishes. But sometimes people look without and they see all these things and they think, hey, you know, this is wonderful, isn't it? You know, and America is a great place to live. And I'm thankful that I live in America, but you know what? Even in America, we have a lot of flaws. We have a lot of people here in this country that trust in America instead of trusting in God. They do. And they trust in our resources. But then thirdly, sometimes people put their hope in their morality. I know a lot of people that think they're going to heaven tonight simply because they live good moral lives. And I'm, again, not, casting down the need for people to be moral and good. I believe in morality, and I condemn immorality. Paul talked about that in the book of 1 Corinthians 6, and he talked about some that were immoral. But then he says, but you have been washed, you have been cleansed. But sometimes people trust in their morality. Cornelius is a good example of that in the book of Acts chapter 10. The Bible says that this man was just pure as the driven snow. Yeah, I mean, he really was. He gave alms to the poor. He did all kinds of things. He offered up prayers daily to God. And the real odd thing about this is this man wasn't a Jew. This man was a Gentile. He was just following the teaching of God that he had given to the Jews. But he started giving his money to people that were destitute and needed help. He started offering up prayers to the God of heaven. The Bible says he was a good man morally, and a lot of people believe that. A lot of people say they don't have to become Christians because they're good morally, as if to say, hey, my morality is going to get me to heaven. But it isn't. Morality will not take a person to heaven, but you'll go there by Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible tells us that God sent Peter down to preach unto Cornelius, even though he was a good man morally, to show him words whereby he could be saved. Acts 11:1 and following. But a lot of people look for hope and morality. Sometimes when people die and they're not Christians, a lot of people say to me, but, you know, they sure were good folks, and I just kind of really believe that there's a special place in heaven for those folks. Now, you know, God doesn't really teach that, and a lot of people surmise that, a lot of people believe that, but that's not really what the Scripture teaches. A lot of people place their hope in the promises of men. People make a lot of promises in life, don't they? And a lot of times people put their hope in the promises of men. Some people tell you they're going to do certain things, and you just kind of let. Politicians are good about doing that. Did you notice that? Did y'all notice that politicians are real good about making all kind of promises? And that they never, ever carry through on what they say they're going to do? And it happens in every party, regardless of who it is. And a lot of people rush out and they say, well, I'm going to vote for that man because he said he's going to do this. Sometimes we fail to see the shallowness of politicians and other people who make all kinds of promises to us. And sometimes people are led to believe certain things. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is the way of death. There are a lot of religious folks today and a lot of preachers that get up and tell people how to be saved and, you know, how to come to Christ and how to live for him that do not teach the word of God, but they teach the doctrines of men. And a lot of people buy into that and they believe that and they listen to all those promises that those preachers have made. And because the preacher thumped on the Bible a little bit and opened it up and said a few words, then they kind of believe that he must be telling the truth. But the book of 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1 says, you make sure you prove the spirits, try the spirits, whether they are of God. That is, you listen to what he's saying, and then you open the Bible to find out whether or not it is true. But a lot of people trust in the promises of men and the teachings of men. But fifthly, sometimes people look for hope in the pleasures of life. They don't care if they're sinning as long as they feel good at the moment, and as long as they have a hope momentarily that they're holding on to. Again, they deny that certain things are sinful as long as they feel good about it. That old song that says, how can it be wrong when it feels so right? Sometimes that's the way we look at life, isn't it? It's kind of like, how do I feel about it? Let your heart dictate what you do. Well, the Bible says that the heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can trust it? Sometimes that's true, isn't it? The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24, that by faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he looked for the reward of God. A lot of people are looking for pleasure here. And they feel that if they can experience that pleasure here, then that's all the hope that they need. Philippians 3:7 says, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yea, he says, indeed, I count all things loss that I may win Christ and be known of him. Some people put their trust in their government. Not only politicians, but they put their hope in their government, especially when the government pays their way and protects them. You know, it's always amazed me how we got so many folks in America tonight that believe that the government owes them a living. And that it is the responsibility of the government to bail them out. That ever puzzle y'all? Does me. And they, in actuality, make government their God. Now, what really burns me, you're talking about getting hot up here, Jim. What really burns me is when we got folks out in the world walking the streets of America that are able-bodied people who will not work, who believe that the government ought to take care of them until the day that they die. I have had people even say to me, I would get a job and go to work, but I can do better on welfare than I can working for minimum wage. And so they look for hope in the government. Nations rise and nations fall. But God remains the same. That's why my hope is in Him. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, and forever. You know, sometimes we even think, I believe that America is invincible, that there is no possibility for our country to fall. Is it? I believe it is. I believe it is. The Bible said, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And I'm going to tell you something. If you just back that up, Charles read that thing this morning in reverse. You just back that up. It just goes to show you that the nation that does not honor God is not going to be blessed of God. The wicked should be turned into hell fire, and all the nations that forget God. And many people do. But then last of all, sometimes people put their hope in their education. You know, and again, I'm not downing education. I think it's great for people to get a good education. I went to college, to the university, and I believe in education. Audrey and I have two daughters that teach, and we think it's a wonderful thing. But when people place their hope in their education, then they will be sadly mistaken at some juncture. Because sometimes people that are extremely educated believe that they are smarter and wiser than God. And you know what? That temptation is always out there. Do you know what? The very first temptation that the devil ever put before man, you know what it was? We look at it and we say, well, yeah, it was to eat of that tree, that forbidden fruit. But you know what it really was? It was the temptation to be as wise as God. Now, that's what it was really all about. For God says, of every tree in the garden you can eat of, but there's one you can't eat of, and that's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you do, you will die. And the Bible says the serpent came to Eve and told her, he said, look, you know, it's all right to do that. God said, don't do it, but I'm telling you it's okay to do it. And the Bible said that Eve saw that tree as one that could make her wise as God. And you know what? People began to believe that their intelligentsia makes them somewhat of a God. Proverbs 26:12 says, do you see a man wise in his own eye? Again, there is more hope for a fool than that man. Do not be wise in your own eyes, Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 7, but fear the Lord and depart from evil. And then in Proverbs 16:18, the word says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be humble in spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. How many of you have ever seen educated fools? I mean, honestly, have you ever seen people that are really educated fools? They have so filled their mind with so many certain things. And you know what? I've had preacher friends through the years that have gone on to schools of divinity to enhance their knowledge about certain things, and they go off the deep end. I mean, that's happened many, many times. And what happens is when we begin to believe that man holds all the answers and not God, then we better back up and take another look. Because our hope should be in God, not in the doctrines of men. It shouldn't be in morality. It shouldn't be within. It shouldn't be without. It shouldn't be in education, but it should be in the Word of God. That's why the book of Proverbs chapter 3:6 says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge Him and He will direct your paths. He gives you hope. I close tonight with a reading from Romans chapter 5, verse 1 through 5. Paul says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory even in tribulation. For, listen to this, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. Stop and think about that, folks. All the problems that you have to go through in life, all of that persevering, all of that tribulation is developing your character. And that character is developing your hope. And he says, now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which was given unto us. That's why we as God's people need not hope in anything else but Christ. And as that song said, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus and his righteousness. I hope you have that kind of hope tonight. I hope it's not a shallow hope, though. You know, a lot of times we say we have hope when we really don't have hope. Hope means that it serves as the Hebrew writer said, it's an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. You know what holds you to God? It's your hope. That's what he said. He said, hope's the anchor. I hope you'll let it be your anchor tonight. And if you're not a Christian, I hope you'll reach out and take hold of that hope that Christ has to give and offer to you. And if you're a Christian and you have lifted that anchor of hope and you've allowed yourself to drift down the sea of life, won't you throw the anchor back out again? Let it anchor you to Christ. While we stand and while we sing.